All of you, when you came in the doors, I hope, got one of our Christmas bulletins. And that picture on the front is not just a haphazard thing that we pulled down from the internet. It's actually this window right there. And you probably don't see that window very often. But the priests, who normally sit over there, except when the crib isn't up, see it all the time, all year long. And we thought, well, we'd share that picture with you. Because we have many, many pictures of Christmas. Many, many pictures of the crib within our minds, whether from creations that you may have on a table at home, or whether the great big ones, such as I've seen, for instance, right before St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And I mean, it's massive. But when we look at this one, it's interesting, because, of course, it ties into the idea that when our Lord came among us, he came in a hidden way. Well, Christmas is one huge feast. We all know that. The build-up's amazing. And for all of us, I suppose, those who are believers and those who are non-believers, we can put our own spin on Christmas. But there is one reality of Christmas, and that is that it's something we needed. And lots of times, we didn't even know we needed it. For thousands of years, the prophets spoke about the King who was to come. And look at all the ways that he was described in that first reading that Joanne read for us tonight. All the Wonder Counselor, Prince of Peace, boy, were the expectations high, but it took so long for him to come. One of the Psalms has, Quando Domine, how long, O Lord? When? How long, O Lord? Have you ever felt like that? To say, you know, God, I know you're with me, but I want you here now. It's not so bad, you know, Lord, to believe, but why aren't you here when I need you to be here? Don't you think that the people of Israel cried out for hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds more years to say, Lord, come, come to be with us? There was one big problem, and that was they themselves weren't ready. A people needs to be able to be formed, to be able to receive a God that is a surprise. Because we have an idea in our heads, just the same as we have ideas about Christmas and cribs and all the rest of it. We got that idea, that image. You know, the philosophers always say, you can't really think of something abstract. If I say to you, chair, you don't think of an abstract concept of chair. You think of a kind of chair, this chair, that chair, probably a softer chair than the pew you're sitting on right now, right? You have to think of something specific. So they had a specific idea, and that crib did not fit in to their specific idea. Because what would it mean to be able to have God come among us? See, they thought of God in sort of a way that we think of kings and leaders and all the rest. That's what they thought, right? They wanted somebody of power and might that they were going to be able to follow. And look out, all you people that put us down, because boy, are you going to get yours now. That's what they thought. And we do the same thing with God. If you sit back right now and say, what is my picture, my image of God? What is that image? For a lot of us, you know, we have a pretty fuzzy idea of an image of God. We think of him as a grandfather in the sky. Not a father so much, but sort of like a grandfather. The kind that no matter what you do, he'll say, oh, that's okay, pat, pat, and let you go with it, you know? Because he doesn't have to live with you, right? Isn't that the truth? But God is not some grandfather in the sky. God is the very ground and source of our being. God is the one who is the person who has made us all, who has made everything since time immemorial. Whenever I hear scientists speaking of the Big Bang, and then they always stop and they say, well, we don't know what went before. I say, well, I know what went before. What we have known and what we have been told since time immemorial. We know that God has always existed. And in the fullness of time, he brought forth this universe. He brought forth everything. It is by his power that we are all created. And yet, how are we going to know a God like that? Isn't that the reason that a lot of people stop praying? Isn't that a reason that a lot of people don't really fit God into their life because they think that God is going to be chopped up, you know, sliced and diced and fitted into your nice, neat little existence? God does not fit into our nice, neat little existence. God does not fit in to my life. I live in the very life of God, and so do you. We are held into existence by the very power and graciousness of God. So how are we ever going to know a God like that? This is how. God realized that he had to come among us to be like us so we could even recognize him. So we're not like the pagans that say, I can see God in the hills, and I can see God in the wind and the trees. You don't see God in the trees and the hills. You see the presence of God. You see the power of God. You see the action. But God is something else. God came among us in a powerful and disturbing way. He came among us in that most definitely weak fashion of a child, of a baby. One of the best things in a priest's life is doing baptisms. We like doing baptisms. They can be a little wild at times, okay? But we like doing baptisms because isn't it a happy time? You know, you see people come in with a new baby into church and they're a little exhausted, but they're happy. And isn't that wonderful? The promises that are there to come. And they're saying, you know, I'm going to do everything for this child. And if you will do everything for your child, how much more will God do for you? Didn't Jesus himself say that? If you who are sinful can be able to truly give the best to your children when they ask for it, how much more will I give you if you but open your hearts and your hands and open your eyes to be able to see that God has come among us to share our weakness. That's why he came among us as a child, because you're weak and you were weaker as a child. Remember back when you really didn't have anything, and yet a child commands, doesn't it? And when a child wants, a child gets. Isn't that true, especially for babies? What Jesus wanted was you. That's what he wants. He wants you. I want you to be with me to the very end of time, he said to his disciples. That's what he wants. If you have ever known a time when you have felt unwanted, unloved, if you've ever felt a time when you've been ignored, you know, you walk into the room and everybody's eyes shift somewhere else. If you have ever known that, remember this. God knows you. God acknowledges you. Jesus Christ has claimed you from the very moment of your existence. I have carved you in the palm of my hand, as it says in another place. When we come to the crib, we don't come to the crib just because it's some wonderful thing from our childhood. We come to the crib because we recognize that our God, the God of the entire universe, has come among us to share everything with us. Even after the resurrection. Even after the resurrection in his glorified body, they still knew him by the scars on his hands and his feet and his side. You have scars, and I have scars. But God carries those scars too because he carries us. And when we are coming to this crib, remember this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're the equivalent of shepherds or the equivalent of the three kings. Doesn't matter whether you're the ones that hear it first or hear it late. We're still called to open our ears to be able to hear that great message of Jesus Christ. That message which transforms not just my life and not just the world that I know, but it's transformed all of history. In this gospel that we heard Deacon Mike read, it says, and there was in the time of Caesar Augustus. So you want to know when it happened? Here it is. You want to know where it happened? Boom, there it happened. God comes into your life in a specific way. As soon as you open your life, your heart, your very abilities to discern and to receive him, he comes in. And he comes in to transform your life, if you wish to be transformed. Our God is a God of wonder and a God of miracles. And he will work those same miracles that we have worked every time we celebrate this Eucharist, when to total amazement he says, share my very life. That's what grace means. Share my very life, my very body and blood, so that you can be sustained, not just in the darkness of these nights, warm though they may be, right? Not just in the darkness of nights, but in the darkness of your life and in the joys of your life, so that you can be like the shepherds. The shepherds didn't just go home after they heard the angels sing and they saw the sign of the baby in swaddling clothes in the manger. The disciples went out and spoke about it. And tonight, when you go out after the blessing, go out and speak about the reality of who Jesus Christ is, alive, powerful, and real in our world.